Did you know 10 years ago where we were at church at this moment? 10 years ago, we had the line thrown out and we were starting to reel it in for Pastor Joey and Juanita. It's been 10 years, January 1st, 10 years they've been with us. 10 years. And he didn't even preach January 1. He preached the next lesson. I says, next time. And I said, well, Joey, you don't have to preach that soon. You can wait till March. And he says, nope, I'm coming January 1st. And we know what day that, what kind of weather we had at that time. Oh, brother, it was cold. But here he is. Thank you for all you do. Now, that's been a long time. It seemed like a long time, 10 years, but wow, that went fast. And I think of like Ed and Dee, they open up their home, and you know what it's like to have a bunch of youth in your home? I don't think our youth are any different. But when they're at home, you got broken pool table sticks. I bet there's some broken ones, I'm almost sure. And maybe a table, chairs are broke. Maybe your couch, the leg fell off. I've been there. I've seen that happen. And I'm sure they haven't told you that side, but I'm sure it's there. Anyway, thank you, thank you, thank you. This church, going back to 10 years ago, I think we prayed the most that we've ever prayed in 9 months' time, and it's for a pastor. We got together many weeks searching for a pastor. And now we have our pastor. And this week here, I think I was at a place, in Colossians 4:1 it says, Paul says, I pray always for you and for your faith. And you know, Paul, he wrote a bunch of different letters. And a lot of his letters are wrote when he was in prison. I pray for you in Philippi. I pray for you in Ephesus, in Colossia. I pray for you guys that you will keep the faith. And he said, I always pray for you. Then it goes in Colossians 4:2, it says, continue earnestly in prayer, steadfast, with thanksgiving. Continue to do it. That's a command. Do that, you guys. But also, he says, in his letters, he's always encouraging. Keep up the faith. Don't give up. Keep on going. Don't give up. I can remember, Ed, we were the time we were about ready to give up. But we didn't give up. We hung in there, kept on going. But at the same time in most of these letters, what does it say? But watch out. Watch out. Something's could happen. Because when things are going good, beware. And he told some of the churches that. Everything's going good in your churches, but there's some people in the church that they got false doctrine is coming in. Be careful. Pastor Joey's been preaching on that. Be careful. Watch out. Things are going good, but watch out. And in all this prayer thing, don't forget to pray for yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. Most times we always pray for everybody else. But pray for yourself. Pray, God, help and guide my walk and my talk and my actions and just guide me in all that. Just a short little prayer. Father, guide me in that. Have the mind of Christ. And also pray for your pastors. I demand that. Pray for them. Because I can remember times when Pastor Joey and Juanita says, we're in a spiritual warfare this week. I can feel it. They said that. And when we talked about these prayer requests that we give out, we pray for 10 minutes, and then do we forget about them the rest of the week? Don't. Write them down, and then when you're in a skid steer or driving in your car or when you're fishing or when you're pounding the nails, just breathe this a little prayer. Just be with whoever. There was somebody that was, it happened not too long ago. They were in a doctor's office. And in this doctor's office, she didn't know anybody there. But anyway, there was a guy who says, you know, I see Jesus in you. Are you a Christian? I see Jesus in you, and it shows. And she said, yeah, I'm a Christian, yeah. And he said, can I pray for you? Didn't even know her. But I don't even know what the prayer was all about. But I can imagine, she says, just guide this lady in what she's going through right now. If there's some heartaches out there as a family, or if she's having some problems, just be with her. Didn't even know her. And he prayed. And that meant a lot to her. Church, don't let your relationships with God be determined by how others relate with God. Got that? Let it be determined how focused you are with God. One time there was a lady in church and she says, "Pastor, I'm not going to church anymore. I'm done. This is my last day." And the pastor said, "May I ask you, why?" "Well, you see all these people out here? They're on their phones, you know, Facebook or whatever, on their phones, and they're gossipers, and they're not living right, and they're just a bunch of hypocrites." "Okay." The pastor says, "Well, can I ask you one thing? Next Sunday, you get a glass of water and fill it full of water, and you walk around this church 2 times. I want you to do that." So, "Oh, yeah, I think I can do that." So next Sunday came. She got that glass of water, the bubbler, got that glass of water, and walked around the church and watched so you don't spill any. Then she came up to the pastor and said, "Okay, I completed that." And said, "What did you find out?" "I didn't notice anything. I didn't notice anybody on their Facebook. I didn't, or on their phones. I didn't notice anybody gossiping. I didn't notice anything about the people." Why? She was focused on God. Folks, at that moment, she was focused on that cut glass of water. She wouldn't spill it because she couldn't look around. Jesus said, "Follow me. Don't follow others." I know Paul says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." But follow me. Don't follow others. And you know something? If you have a problem being focused in this church here, I tell you one thing. Come up the front benches and you'd lose that to a point. Because you won't see what's going on up ahead of you. I'm just putting it out. That's not Bible, but it's true. Anyway, how do you think Paul would have prayed today for our church? He prayed for all his other churches he started. How do you think he prayed for our church? I think this is the way he would start it. Just, "I really appreciate you guys. I've been hearing good things and really good things about what's happening in this church. Many people are coming, new people. And it seems like they really like the warm and friendly atmosphere they feel. One thing, though, I want to enforce. And that's that there's a lot of different personalities. There's a lot of different flavors, church flavors, Presbyterian, Lutheran, wherever you want to go with it. A lot of different flavors. There's some old and there's some young. Now you know what? Worship together. Try it. One thing I pray continually, that you as a church would grow in unity. Would grow in unity and love. You can put anything else in there. But watch out, guys. The devil's right there. Try to yank that, mess it all up. You know how he's going to mess it up? Just in your personality and your relationships. You just, one little thing, you don't get along with somebody. It's not because the church don't have money. It wouldn't be that. But just because of a personality of one person, maybe, or one family, can really mess it up. So watch out. I'm just saying that. But grow in unity. It don't have to happen. You know something? Get ready, Ethan. I've seen it, and I felt it, and I went through it. So pray for unity. With Jesus, there is victory.
I've heard him say before, to live just like you're dying, yeah. Wish I could say that's how I am, but I've been lying, yeah. Lying in my bed at night, one too many times I'm thinking, what if, my biggest fear is waking up to find what matters is miles away from what I spend my life chasing after. Is my story gonna have the same two words in every chapter? What if, what if, but last I checked, this heart inside my
How can you sit there like that? Isn't that a message in there? What if? If only I would have. Why didn't I? I know. I should have. But you had your chance. And you told me, but I didn't listen. What about this? Cal, I wish you would have told me. If only you would have told me. After a person dies, you say, I should have said something, but I never did. And I was thinking that we had Adam and Eve in Sunday school class this morning. And I was thinking of Adam and Eve. What did they do? Disobeyed God. Yeah, they ate the fruit, but they disobeyed. And then what happened? Sin. And as soon as they ate that and sinned, what happened? Guilt. Where did that come from? How can it be guilt all of a sudden? It wasn't from inherited from grandma and grandpa. All of a sudden, immediately, guilt hit them just because they disobeyed God. And then what did they try to do? What did they do? They went and they hid. Tried to cover it up. They went and they hid. And of course, because of the result of that, there was punishment. Do you think they said, what were we thinking? What if? I can just imagine them sitting at the supper table. Dear, what do you think we got ourselves into? If only we wouldn't have. If only we wouldn't have. But here we are. What were we thinking? Remember back in the day when we were walking and we see this brook here and the waterfalls, hand in hand. Oh, wow. Wasn't that a good time? Then on our way, we'd see all the flowers and all that. And then for supper, let's take this watermelon home and just eat, have watermelon. I mean, can you just imagine what that would have been like just walking in the garden? I don't know. But they got interrupted. And then I think they were thinking, what were we thinking? Oh, look at our two sons. Cain killed Abel just because we started it all. Just because we started it all. And you know something? Do anybody know how old Adam lived? 930 years of regret. We only got 90. We had 930 years. If only I wonder. If only I wonder. Are we any different? Are we any different? What happens when we disobey? Does guilt hit? What was I thinking? Do we try to run and hide? Please don't tell mom and dad. Hear that, kids? Don't tell mom and dad. I'll give you a quarter if you don't tell mom. I've done that. But we try to hide it. We try to hide it. And like on a speeding ticket, you know, when a cop pulls you over, what's your excuses? Oh, I'm going to be late for work. Or I didn't, you know, the cop might ask, why were you speeding? I didn't see you there. Otherwise, I didn't see you there. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been speeding. That's just whatever. Anyway, we try to cover it up. And we try to make excuses. My cruise didn't work or whatever. We got all kinds of excuses just to prevent a $250 fine. And you know something? You can kind of overlook that part. But what about a situation where a wife and husband, and the husband's not a Christian, and she was warned, don't date him, don't marry him, but he's a nice guy, all that. Oh yeah, I agree with you. Probably everything went good, but not being a Christian, that's tough. You got enough stuff to go through without having to deal with that. Anyway, she said, I was warned. I should never have done it. I was warned. And my children aren't growing up. They're not living for the Lord like they should. Consequences. And you know, she has that all through, or he has it all through life. Them consequences. Some things are easy to put aside. There's other things that are not. And I was thinking of, I just kind of happened to think of this. What did David do? He sinned big time. I don't know if he called it big sin, but he, get her for me. I'm really going faster, but get her for me. I want her. So she came, and got her pregnant. Okay, what did he try to do when she found out she was pregnant? He tried to hide it and cover it up. He said he put her husband, got him drunk, hopefully he'd be with her, but he wasn't. So then what did he have to do? He had to put him in front line to get him killed. Then what did he do right after he got killed? He married her. Now I'm okay. I don't know how long, was it 9 months there that this maybe all took place before Nathan came and approached him? I think the baby was born. I'm not sure. It just kind of hit me. But anyway, Nathan approaches him. You're the man. And then because of your sin, your son, I think it was, is going to have some handicaps. I don't remember what it was. There was something with his son. Am I right on that? I think I'm right on that. Anyway, consequences for what he did. And he begged God, don't, please don't, please don't. But I'm sure he was saying, if only I wouldn't have. What if I would have listened and not, what if I wouldn't have did what he did? What if? We got Samson kind of the same way. Get that girl for me, I want her. And she was a heathen girl. Get her, I want her. Mom and dad says, please don't you know? Why can't you find somebody in our church? Why can't you find somebody in our own community? Why do you have to go across the heathen country and get somebody? I want her. So he married her. And what happened later on? He lost his strength, of course, and all, there's a lot of big story in there, but his eyes were gouged out. He lost all his strength. What did he have to do? Walk this treadmill. And I think every step he went, if only I wouldn't have. If only I wouldn't have pushing that treadmill around. Why would I listen to mom and dad? Why? Why? And then, of course, we know the story goes later on. They were making fun of him many times in this here big arena, wherever they were at, poking fun of him. And I think there was that time right there, he says, prayed one more time. God, give him the strength back. And he pushed over the pillars. And 3,000 people, I think, died at that time. The biggest destruction in one man's history, I think. 3,000 people, all of a sudden, bang. But all this time, I think he was saying, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? You know, sometimes I think we take sin just a little bit too lightly. What is sin? We talk about it disobeying. And I think in our Sunday school lesson, I think that sin is a blinding, I think it talks about a blinding thing or something. How did I write that? Well, anyway, I don't forget that part. But when we disobey our parents, is that sin? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And if we don't, is that sin? One time there was somebody was planting a garden, and mom and the kids had to go plant this garden. And it was hot, of course, but we had to plant the garden. You know how that all goes. So you make your rows, and you put two seeds here and two seeds here and two seeds here, cover them up a half an inch of dirt, and you make a next row, do the same thing, on and on and on. And it took a number of hours. And as they're, after a while, mom said, you know, it's time to go in for, time to get supper ready. So she went in to get supper ready. But she said, before I go in, kids, I want you to plant 20 hoes for the cucumbers. Put two seeds here, two seeds each one, and cover them all up. So mom took off, and the kids decided, well, I tell you what, we're just going to dig one hole and put them all in one. So that's what they did. Okay, everything was going really good till the sixth day or seventh day. Mom went out to the garden, and here these seeds are all 20 in one hole. You know what? I don't know the response of mom, but what would the response of mom? I told you, I don't know what would happen. And the kids thought they had it all covered up. It was covering up sin, thought they had it all covered up. And yeah, they had it covered up good for 7 days, 6 days, whatever. But be sure your sin will find you out. Anyway, another thing, the Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. Ooh, boy. Wow. That's what the Bible says. You know, and I think about, the Bible also says, to go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them and showing them and loving on them. It tells us, you guys go. We're not, so we don't go when we know we should. Is that sin? Jesus said it. Is it sin? I know one thing. It makes Jesus very disappointed in you. I'll put it that way. Philip and the eunuch. You know the story there a little bit. Philip was told to go visit that eunuch guy out there in that chariot. I don't know if it was a two-day drive or walk or whatever. But he said, go out there. And he said, I'll show you where to go. Anyway, when he went out there, he says, he saw this guy and he was reading his Bible. Or whatever. And he says, do you understand what thou readest? And he says, how can I unless someone shows me? Someone showed him. Philip showed him. Now, what if he wouldn't have? There had been a lost soul. Who knows? But what if he wouldn't have been obedient to that? We have a story in Achan in the Bible. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and sacrifice is the fat of lambs. He thought God told him when he went out to battle, don't take anything with you. So he took a whole bunch of sheep. Whatever he did that for. But he said, well, then he got caught. Who was it? The prophet at that time? I can't think what it was. Anyway, the prophet came up to him and says, why did you take those? Why? What I hear bleating in the background? It was sheep. Said, didn't I tell you not to take them? Yeah. Anyway, he took them. But he said, well, it's for a sacrifice. Trying to cover it up. It's a sacrifice. A good idea. But God said, don't. But he did it. And I think his life was taken from him right there in the spot. Anyway, getting back to the what if. There was Jim, a pastor, and he was working on this. He was helping work on a house, renovating this house. And it was quite a project. And he was renovating this house, and later on he kind of was wondering about saw the boss there, the owner of the house, and he said, boy, you know, sometime I should go see that guy. Something just don't look quite right. So he got the nudge to go see him. And so he went and seen him, and he found out that when he got to talking to him, he says, how are things going? He says, I'm very depressed. And so he pointed the way of the Lord, pointed him towards salvation. And he said, you know, and then a couple days later, he went over and says, you know something? He went over to the pastor and he told Pastor Jim, and he says, if you wouldn't have came at that time, I was about ready to take my life. Now, what if he wouldn't have went? What if he wouldn't have went? What if he wouldn't have went, would he be saying, Jim, Pastor Jim, and he died, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Now, church, we are all seed planters here. Did you believe it? You're seed planters. And Paul says, I planted and Apollos watered, but God gives an increase. I understand that. But we can all be seed planters. You got to start somewhere. And some people, maybe you planted the seed, but somebody over here watered it. But God gives the increase. But wait a minute. The seed planters isn't only Joey. Sometimes you say, well, that's the pastor's job. I milk cows. That's the pastor's job. But wait a minute. Maybe someone here, right in this moment, has got this feeling of guilt. And it's hanging on you. And what are you doing? You're trying to run. You're trying to hide. And it might last for a little while. No one might not know it. But it always comes up in your mind. I should never have done it. I should never have done it. But, okay, so what? You kind of hide it. If there's someone here like that, don't wait any longer on that. Because what if? That song says, what if your life is taken away from you right now? What if you didn't make that choice? What if? That's hindering your joy. That's hindering your relationship with God. It's hindering your relationship with people and with, what am I going to say? Just do it before it's too late. What are we waiting?
Can't dance if we don't move our feet.
Got that? What are you waiting for? There's no more time going to be made. When you walk out of these doors here this morning, above the sign, it says you're now entering into the harvest or something like that. I forget how it says. But I'm going to tell you something. When you walk out these doors, go slowly and just look. The harvest is ready. Go out and make reapers and go out and do something. Don't. God says go. And that's command for all of us. Go. Don't just go. I know of a person right now. He thinks that at the last he can, it's okay. I'll make my change later on. Ed and I know him real well. He's living out in the world. And he knows. And he says, someday, it might be too late though. Then he might say, why didn't I?